So good morning, everybody. Just wanted to encourage everybody. I don't know how to introduce Pastor Ephiel. I thought I did, but I guess I don't. This morning I told him he can preach, pray, prophesy, tell stories, or just wait on God. There's one thing that I think that we have to remove from men and women of God, and that is any sense of having to perform. Who here likes to perform? I won't accept Grace, maybe. See, she's our drama queen. But you understand what I'm saying? Like, we just, Josh, take the offering. And, oh, all of a sudden that, oh. And I just want to encourage you, because I realize just how much pressure there are. It's part of our culture. You know, we're an entertaining culture. Hollywood, television, most media, forms of media were created by our culture, for our culture to be exported to around the world. And I don't think we understand that we've been indoctrinated to perform. That we've been indoctrinated to respond to applause, that the applause of man equals success. Why am I saying all this morning? I think the truth is that the scripture very clearly says that woe unto you when all men think well of you. And that's something that Jesus himself, I mean, if Jesus, the perfect man, walked the perfect life, and was despised as much as he was, he must have done something right. And that was not performing. You remember the first thing the devil tempted him with? Well, if you're the Son of God, perform. Right? Turn, right? Perform. And what it happens long term, it begins to erode in a man or woman's soul who you really are. Let's face it, all of us, whatever we do, if anybody's in sales, I'm even looking now back at some school teachers in our congregation, that there's this odd pressure put on you as soon as you come into this place where you're, you know, are any of you graded at work on your performance? I'm looking at a guy in the military. You know, it's all measured on our performance. And how one bad performance can nullify 10 good ones. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? So therefore, it doesn't matter how well a person is doing in life, as soon as there's one bad performance, the condemnation is more than a person can bear. Why do you think there's so many teen suicides in our nation? Because of performance. Because of what man calls success. So I'm saying that because that's why I want to just make sure that the scripture is very clear. Every time Jesus really said anything that needed to be said, he always said, he who has ears to hear. He didn't say, hey guys, I got a hot word for you this morning. He said, I got something to say, and I don't know who's going to hear it. So I just wanted to say that because... So let me just give you the skinny on my friend here. So we met 88. You don't look old enough to have known me that long ago. He came to my home because of a friend, met him at a gas station in Harare, Zimbabwe. Am I correct? Stefan, right? And he came to my home, and as soon as he walked through the door of my house, God spoke to me and said, wash his feet. Remember that? Wasn't that? And I didn't know him, and he didn't know me. And I lived in Lexington, New York, which is 10 miles from nowhere and 5 miles from any place. And so I said, sit down, brother. God's told me to wash your feet. And I washed his feet. I don't remember anything else, just that. And I first went down to preach for you at that camp meeting, wasn't it, in early 1990. Remember that? And my son Paul was with me, remember? He was 7 years old. And that was when we were having six meetings a day. The first one was 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I woke up, I was in sleeping in a tent, and I thought, what is that noise? This time in the morning, it was him preaching at 6 o'clock in the morning. And that was the camp meeting when I preached the morning session, and then I stopped because it was lunchtime, and he looked at his watch and said, brother, lunch isn't ready. Preach again. I always remember that. I'm picking on you now. We've been together a long time, and I'm just saying this because at the end of this, we are going to receive a great blessing for him financially. His country is probably right now maybe the poorest country in the world. Their monetary system does not exist anymore. Their country is in such bad state that their money, after they printed, was it $100 trillion bills? Did you hear what I just said? $100 trillion bills. That's how much inflation hit their inflation in their country was running nearly 1,000,000%. You know, it was just absurd. So anyway, I'm saying this because he's a man of faith who, in the midst of all the poverty of his country, has demonstrated that God honors his word. Wonderful wife, Sister Elna. I've known him such a long time. I've lived in their house. We've ministered together. And how many churches have you planted now out of yours? 22 churches. So this is a man of God that we're greatly privileged to have with us this morning. And so I really appreciate, we don't know how we're going to go this morning, but Pastor Ephel, I want to greet you in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are a man that we want to honor and appreciate, not just your gift to us as the body of Christ, but as a man, as a friend who has stood by me, who has reproved me, who's looked me in the eye and told me when I was wrong. And I just want to make sure that I publicly tell you that I appreciate that. We'll never forget that. So, my brother, come and minister the word of God to us this morning. Let's all stand and give thanks for Pastor Ephel.
Hallelujah. I greet you this morning in the name that's above all names, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Do we love Jesus in the house? Can we wave our hands to him and say, I love you, Jesus? Oh, just say it one more time. I love you, Jesus, with all my heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to thank the Lord once again for giving me the opportunity to visit you and to come and minister his word. I want to thank his servants, Pastor Vaughn, who is also Prophet Vaughn, and his wife, Sister Wendy. Thank you very much for having me once again. I want to thank all of you for standing with us over the years. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your giving. There are things that we are only able to do in our country because of relationships. You know, God, this is one of the greatest relationships God has given my wife and I, a relationship with Pastor Vaughn and his wife Wendy, and also with your ministry. There are times when we have passed through here and you have given us support. There are times when Pastor has sent funds which have helped us to do great things in our country. And the Word of God tells us that every joint supplies. And thank you for allowing God's love to manifest through you. And thank you, Pastor. And may the Lord continue to multiply every seed that you are not just sowing into what we are doing in Zimbabwe, but also in different parts of the world. Amen. Amen. Praise God. In fact, why don't we lift our hands? I just want to pray about that. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you, Lord, for every seed that has been sown by this church over the years, in Jesus' name. I thank you, my Father, because your word says, as long as the earth continues, seed time and harvest time shall never cease. I thank you, Father, for you are the God who multiplies seed that has been sown, in Jesus' name. I thank you for the men and women in this house that have invested in heaven, because your word tells us when you give to the poor, we are lending to you, and we are laying up treasures in heaven. I thank you, my God and my Father, in Jesus Christ's name, for the continued manifestation of the blessing, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Like what Pastor said, our country is experiencing unemployment, which is around 94%. And as he said, we are no longer using our own Zimbabwe dollar, which we called the Zim dollar. We are now using your money and other monies from other parts of the world, currencies that have got value because of how things are. But I want to thank God. You know, when you are going through challenges, the natural tendency is to get into what is commonly called the survival mode, self-survival mode, and you start to think of only yourself. Like someone talked about me, myself, and I. And what do you do? What you get, you want to gather it for yourself. But I want to thank God because the Bible says we are a peculiar people, and we are different people. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom God has given unto us. In the year 2004, it came to my attention that some of the brethren in our church, they were going through financial challenges. They didn't even have food in their homes. I heard about a family of about 12 people. These were not children of one mother, but this is a mother who was looking after children of her sisters who had died because of AIDS. And but these children, they would eat only one meal a day at their home. That's what that mother could afford. And one of the meals they would eat at one of our pastor's house, the pastor who lives in that suburb. We call them townships. And when I heard about that, I was really moved. And after I was really moved in my heart, I remember I sent a letter to our friend Stefan. And I didn't ask him for anything, but I was just sharing with him. And what did he do? He sent a small offering. And when he sent that offering, we bought groceries. And after we bought groceries, we helped that family plus another, I think there were two other families. And then after that, you know, God does exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. I like the saying that if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. And I got a message from Stefan. And the message was saying, Dr. Stephen Sumrau has just approved a 40-foot container to be shipped to you. We didn't even have an infrastructure for distributing food in our church. We were just helping people as little provisions were coming in. But, you know, God does far beyond all we can ask or think. The next thing, we received a 40-foot container. We set up a department in our church which we called the Joseph Project. We took food to orphanages. We supported poor people. We went to the slums and would take food to them. And the next thing, the following year, and I told people we now have a Joseph Project, but we didn't have any promise of a second container. But the next thing that happened the following year, another container came. And I remember the following year, we got two containers. One came to Harare and another one, we sent it to Bulawayo. And it was split between two ministries, which were reaching communities. Bulawayo is the second largest city in our country. And the capital city is Harare. That's where I come from. And after that, every year, we have been receiving containers since 2004. But what happened last year, we got message that there were no funds for shipping containers. But I want to thank God that you are one of the churches that came strong in helping us in moving containers, such that want to thank God we have one container that arrived, another one is on the way, and on Thursday, another container, it was loaded in California. And they are sending food supplies. And the other thing that has also happened in our country, our government is very tight in registering what are called non-governmental organizations, which are involved in humanitarian work. Because what they do is they use humanitarian aid, politicians, they use it to campaign for votes. So if you are not, if you've got food, they would want you to give it to them so that they can use it to campaign for votes. But say that they've been very strict on registering what are called non-governmental organizations or volunteer organizations in our country. But want to thank God that he gave us favor. In fact, after operating with from a church, from our church for since 2004, this year, we were told out of 100 applications that were submitted to our government, our ministry, in fact, the Joseph Project, which is our charity wing of the ministry, it was registered by government. So that now we are a fully full-fledged organization recognized by the government, and want to thank God for his favor. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, as Pastor said, we met in 1988, and this man of God, he's one of the, amongst the men of God I know personally, he's one of the greatest men of God I know. He might not be on television. He might not be well known by many people. But by the grace of God, I have interacted with several men of God, even some of them who appear on television. But the anointing and the grace of God on Pastor Vaughn. I want to say to you, saints, you are blessed to have this man here. You are really blessed. I'm not saying this because he's my friend, because above all, he is my friend. And I've learned, and I speak the truth. I'm very transparent. And I want to say, continue to love him and his wife and family. Stand with them in what God has put in their hearts. And, you know, pray for your pastor. There are people who just expect from their pastor. They expect the pastor to perform, like what you said, on Sunday or during the course of the week. But they never pray for their pastor. The only one who does not need prayer is God. We can never say, let's pray for God. Because God does not need prayer. But I heard a story by Kenneth Hagin about a little boy who said, Daddy, let's pray for God. And Daddy said, why? And the boy said, God is confused. And he said, what? Why? They needed a pastor in their church. And so they had different pastors come to preach. And each of the pastors who was preaching was saying, God told me I'm going to pastor you. So the boy said, God needs prayer. But God does not need prayer. Can you tell someone the Lord does not need your prayers? Amen. We must love him. We must worship him. We must adore him. But he doesn't need prayer. But you and me need prayer. Paul said, pray for me. Please pray. Pray for pastor. Pray for his wife. Pray for utterance. Paul says, pray for me that utterance might be given unto me so that I might speak the word of God without fear. He also said, pray for us in 2 Thessalonians. He said, pray that God will deliver us from evil people because not everybody has got faith. Because there are people who are evil, who are wicked. Amen? Amen. Praise God. You know, pray for the servants of God. You are really blessed. Do you know if this man and his wife were just coming here and ministering to you and going, that would be a great blessing. But the Lord led them to come and live here. And I want to encourage you to draw as much as possible. You know, a man of God cannot mentor a person who does not want to be mentored. It has to be in your spirit to be mentored. It is not Elijah who pursued Elisha. It was Elisha who pursued. I want to share with you a big secret. How many of us want to hear the big secret? Those of you, especially leaders who are close to your pastor, learn to go to him and say, "Pastor, what have you learned over the years that has brought you this far? Can you share with me?" Because you know what? You can speed up destiny. How? And the Bible says, redeem the time. Because the days are evil. There are things that he has learned over the years. How many years, men of God, have you been in the ministry? 30 years. There are things he has learned over the 30 years of ministry, which you can learn in 3 minutes. Because you are spiritually smart. Because you ask. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But, of course, you must not just be a person who wants to take you see, the anointing is not, in Zimbabwe, we talk about takeaway. You don't just take and go. God is a God of relationship. Can we all say relationship? Oh, can we say that again, saints of God? Can we all say relationship? See, my first and foremost important relationship is with my Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And then God has given me horizontal relationship. I've got a relationship with my wife, with my children. Saints of God, you are my brothers, you are my sisters. Amen. And all these are your brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Remember what Jesus said when his mom and brothers came to see him. You remember what he said. You see, if you are washed in the blood of Jesus, if you have received Jesus, if you are a child of God, you are my brother, you are my sister. Amen. Hallelujah. And see, God is a God of relationship. Do you remember when Elijah was going? As Elijah was going with the chariot of fire and horses of fire, going to heaven, because Elijah did not die, in his departure, Elisha said, "My father." He said, "My father." See, it means he's not a man who just wanted the double portion. There was a relationship. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. There was a relationship. You know, Timothy, the first time Paul brought in Timothy to travel with him, the Bible says he had to circumcise him. Why? Because he was mixed. Is it the mother who was Jewish and the father was Greek? And so he had to, because he wanted harmony with his other brothers who he would mix with, who were Jews, so that they wouldn't say, "These boys are circumcised. We don't want to have anything to do with him." Because Paul also said, "I became all things to all men, that by any means I might win some." Hallelujah. Praise God. And he started to travel with him. And over the years, do you know, at one time the Bible tells us he left him in Ephesus, according to 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said, "I left you in Ephesus." But this was after they traveled together. Can we all say traveled together? Can we all say relationship? Oh, let's say it again, relationship. See, after they traveled together, he couldn't trust him with leaving him in Ephesus. He says, "So that you'll stop those who teach strange doctrines, which minister questions rather than godly edification that is in Christ Jesus." Why? Because Timothy was now trained in the word, because according to 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul says to Timothy, "The things that you have received from me before many witnesses, entrust them to faithful men who shall be able to share with others also." Hallelujah. Can we all say relationship? He said, "The things you heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust them to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Amen. Can we all say multiplication? Can we all say relationship? So, saints of God, it's not just about saying, I want what the man of God has. Let him put his hands on me. And then that's it. There must be relationship. I heard Dr. Lester Sumrall when he was still alive in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He was speaking about how he met with Smith Wigglesworth. And when he met with Smith Wigglesworth in England, he was laid hands on by Wigglesworth. And it is said that before Sumrall met Smith Wigglesworth, he used to be a very timid young man. But anybody who saw Dr. Sumrall when he was still alive, you know that he was not a timid man. He was bold as a lion. I mean, when he spoke, even if you could say he's speaking softly, he would speak with authority from his spirit. And it is said there was an impartation. Can you all say impartation? So there is teaching and impartation that happened. So when you are relating closely with a man of God, you will be taught. But be consistent. Be what? Be consistent. And also have the Elisha attitude. Elisha said, I'm going to Bethel. Stay here. Elisha says, I'm coming with you. Then they're in Bethel. I'm going to Jericho. Stay here. Elisha says, I'm going with you. Hallelujah. And they get to Jericho. Elijah said, I'm crossing Jordan. Elisha, stay here. He says, I'm going with you. They get to the Jordan. Elijah strikes the Jordan. They cross the Jordan. A miracle happens. Hallelujah. Can we all say our God is the God who can open the Jordans? Hallelujah. He's in training. After they cross Jordan, he asks him, what do you want? He says, I want double the portion of the Spirit that's upon you. He says to him, you have asked for a hard thing. But nevertheless, if you see me go, you'll get it. And what happens? There is a separation that takes place between Elijah and Elisha, not by strife, but by fire. Hallelujah. Separation by fire. And Elijah goes to heaven riding a chariot of fire, pulled by horses of fire. Hallelujah. There are wonderful things on the other side. Different kinds of traffic. And horses. Hallelujah. And after he goes, that's when Elisha says, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And then he takes the mantle of Elijah. But he has experienced training. He gets to the Jordan. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? He strikes it. He opens it. But he has gone through the training. They cross Jordan together. And looking at the life of Elisha, what do we see happening? The Bible tells us that, you know, I had scriptures laid out to share, but I'm just sharing from my heart. And, you know, looking at the life of Elisha, those who have counted the miracles which he performed double less one in his days when he was alive on earth, the miracles which were done by Elijah. But Elisha, he died and he was buried. And after he was buried, the word of God tells us that there were people who were burying somebody who was dead. And they saw raiders or terrorists, in order for us to understand it in our context. They saw terrorists or Al-Qaeda. And then when they saw terrorists, They took the body frantically and they threw it where Elisha had been buried. And the Bible says when the dead body came in contact with the bones of Elisha, he came back to life. So the double came in. But one of the things that you are going to discover concerning Elisha in his lifetime as a prophet, one day, three kings were in a desert and they thought they were out of water and they were about to die with their armies. And Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there any prophet here?" And someone said, "There is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who used to pour water upon the hands of Elijah." That was Elisha's profile. That was Elisha's profile. We went to school. And when we went to school, we wrote tests. And some tests we passed and some we failed. I don't know if there's anyone who passed every test that you ever wrote when you went to school. But I want to tell you, when you write a final test, it affects your progressing. And we have to, and some of us, we come to church and after we are born again and we enjoy serving God. And then what do we need? We need to start to get involved in the house of God. Because the one who wants to be great must be the servant of all. And the one who wants to be the greatest must be the slave of all. That's what Jesus said. That's the king of the kingdom who said that. Hallelujah. It means you minister in different ways, whether it's music or ushering or cleaning the house or whatever, or going out to the prisons or whatever. You need to be involved because every member of my body has a function. And each one of us, we are a member of Christ's body. Amen. It means we have a function. Can you all say, "I have a function"? And as we have functions, we must function. And then what happens is we are involved in the house of God. But some, they fail to do that, so they fail the test. So they don't progress. And there's no jumping classes in the kingdom. You have to, if you'd fail the test, you have to write it until you pass it. And then there are, but then there's another level of serving. Another level, it is of serving. It is when you are serving in the house of God, but then you say, "There's a servant of God in the house of God who has been sent by God." And as there's a servant of God in the house of God who has been sent by God to minister to me, you do what the word of God says. Do you remember? Joshua was a servant of Moses for 40 years. Before promotion. Can we all say servant? Of Moses. For 40 years. Before promotion. And when God needed somebody to take over from Moses or to lead the children of Israel in Canaan, he didn't choose anyone from the elders, but the servant of Moses. Amen. If you read Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the word of the Lord came unto Joshua, the servant of Moses." Amen. You'll notice that the first time we come across Joshua and he's called minister to Moses, it's at the mountain where the law was given. That was 40 years before. And then Moses dies. And then after that, God speaks to him. Why? Because Joshua wrote a test and he passed it. He served the men of God. Amen. You are also going to notice because Joshua was a servant of Moses, there are places Joshua went to which others didn't go. Amen. As he was serving. Because sometimes what we want is we say, "Give me the pulpit, Pastor. I'll do wonders behind the pulpit." But I want to tell you something. There's a pulpit out there. Amen. 24/7. And also you can, how do you serve a man of God? You ask man of God, "Is there anything I can do?" Because there are times when he's thinking, "We need to do this and that and that." And you just avail yourself. Amen. "Pastor, I'm available on Tuesday. I'm available on Fridays. If you need anybody to do driving, I can drive." You avail yourself. Hallelujah. What are you doing? As you are serving the vision God gave to the man of God, what happens is God is watching. Because listen to this sense of God.
if God promoted Joshua, who was a servant to Moses, and God promoted Elisha, who was a servant to Elisha, who was a servant to Elijah, that should tell us something about her qualifications for promotion. Do we have smart people in the house? Shout hallelujah. Because we make deductions and conclusions. Because if it happened, I mean, look at Mark. Mark travels with Paul and Barnabas, but Mark, he absconds duty. He deserts. And then Paul and Barnabas, they want to travel, second trip. Mark wants to travel with them now. He has had exciting news, I'm sure. He was a spoiled child, I believe, because his mother had a big house in Jerusalem. That's where the saints prayed. So I think he was missing that. And Paul says, I don't travel with quitters. Barnabas says, let's give him another opportunity. And Paul and Barnabas, they split ways. But what happens later on? Paul writes and he says, bring Mark to me. He says, he's profitable to me. Can we all say changing? Can we all say, thank God, I can change? Oh, let's say that again. Thank God, I can change. Maybe in the past you messed up, you quit, and people can no longer trust you. But you can change, brother. You can change, sister. You can start again. And not only was he profitable, he wrote us the gospel according to Mark. How many of us read the gospel according to Mark? Hallelujah. Saints of God, it doesn't matter. You know, there is nobody who is serving God. No one who is a kingdom hero who did everything right all the time. Amen. Peter at one time, he's walking, looking at Jesus on the water, but then he starts to look at the water, he starts sinking. And this man, he denies the Lord 3 times. And the last time, with an oath. But he's the same man who preached on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not too late for a turnaround. He's the same man who preached at the Gate Beautiful when the crippled man walked. He is the same man whose shadow was healing people in Jerusalem. Yes. One of the scriptures I love to proclaim, it's in Zechariah 4. Grace, grace, grace. Can we all say grace? Grace, grace, grace. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Paul says, I'm what I am by the grace of God. Amen. I'm what I am by the grace of God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. And also, do you see something also that happened in the relationship of Mark and Paul? The apostle forgave the young man. That's why he said, I can bring him to me. At one time, he had taken a tough stance. But then he released him. And they started to do things together again. You know, one of the things which the enemy attacks is God-given relationships. He would want to damage them. He would want people to get hurt with each other, especially those that need each other, those who really need each other for the fulfillment of God-given destiny. And we are really kicking the devil in the face when we forgive each other. Amen. Amen. Can we all say, I am merciful? Oh, let's say it, saints. I am merciful. Like God, my Father. I forgive. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was just sharing from my heart. Let me give you some. Let me give you some scriptures. And within the next minutes, which I still have, I'll just share with you the word which the Lord put in.
put in my heart. I'll just share what I can share. I did you get something from what we talked about? Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to share with you concerning divine favor. Divine favor. Divine favor. Can we all say divine favor? Can we all say the favor of God? Let me say this before we read from John chapter 1. We can go there to John chapter 1. Divine favor comes from God. It is by God. And it is for God. Can we all say from God? By God and for God. Every man and every woman we see in the Word of God who walked in the favor of God, it was not for themselves, it was for God. And when, if we will understand, saints of God, that the favor of God that we experience in our lives has a divine purpose. And if we understand that purpose and we commit ourselves to making sure that the Father's purpose with His favor in our lives is fulfilled, we are going to experience increase of divine favor. John chapter 1, verse 16 says, "And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." One of the definitions of favor, it is of grace, it is unmerited favor. Can we all say it? Divine favor is a reality. It's not a myth. Amen. It's real. It's not just something that we talk about. It's real. The Word of God says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. There's a statement I love concerning divine favor, which I got from someone. I didn't get this directly from the Lord, but that statement says, favor is not fair, but it's favor. You might say, you might raise a flag and say, no, God, you can't do that for that person. But God's favor, it is supernatural, and it can come to a person whom you least expect. Amen. To walk in that favor. But there are certain things which are in the Word of God which will help us to embrace it, walk in it, and experience more of it. Because all of us, we need divine favor to fulfill God-given destiny. Amen. Whether as individuals or in our businesses or as a church, we need the favor of God in order to fulfill God-given destiny. Luke 2 verse 52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Can we all say favor? Favor. With God and men. Amen. To be favored, it means to be preferred. To be given preferential treatment. Hallelujah. Do we have any in the house who enjoy preferential treatment? You know, when the Word of God tells us grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, do you notice that Heavenly Father has given to mankind preferential treatment by sending His Son to redeem mankind? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke 1, verse 28. Luke 1, verse 28. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" This is Mary. The Bible does not tell us that Mary became the mother of Jesus because she was the most beautiful woman in Israel. Neither does the Bible tell us that she was the only virgin. The favor of God. The favor of God. Hallelujah. The favor of God. Now, I thought, if she was favored because she was going to have Jesus in her womb, I have Jesus in my heart. I have favor. You have favor. Now, we read where the Bible tells us Jesus increased. It means there is something called increasing in favor. Oh, brother, sister, if Jesus Christ, God wearing human flesh, needed to increase in favor with God and men, how much more you and me? Because no servant is greater than his master. But I believe one of the things that will help us in experience the favor of God, first of all, is we need to embrace it in our hearts that I'm favored by God. I have the favor of God in my life because I've got Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we all say, I have the favor of God in my life because I've got Jesus. Hallelujah. Where there's Jesus, there's divine favor. There's divine favor. Can we all say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. We come across a church experiencing favor. And I want to say, if that church experienced favor, that church, it means we can claim that favor. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 47, praising God, Acts 2, verse 47, and praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I want to say something to us. People are not going to join a church if that church does not have favor with those people. There are so many churches. People could go to another church. But the favor of God will bring people into a house. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we might say we've got music. There's music down the road. We have a building. There's a building also down the road, maybe a bigger one. But one thing about the favor of God, you might not have the best building in town. You might not have the best musicians in town. In terms of skills, you might not have an orchestra in the city. There might be other churches that have orchestras. But the favor of God will bring people. Let's lift our hands. Say, Father, thank you for your favor in this house. In Jesus' name. Oh, let's say that again. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your favor upon my life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's flash back. Let's go to Genesis quickly. Let's go to Genesis. Favor. Favor. I want to say what I said earlier on. It's not a myth. It's real. And it works. Genesis chapter 37, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his older age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. You know, Joseph experienced favor with his father Israel. We all know that Joseph was not the youngest child. There was Benjamin. Amen. Just like what I said, Mary, definitely, she was not the only virgin in the country. Mary, definitely, she was not necessarily the most beautiful girl. When the angel came, the angel never spoke about her physical appearance. But the angel spoke about highly favored. Let's all say highly favored. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Chapter 39, verse 3 to 4. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and saved him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority, a slave, a foreign slave, in the house of Potiphar. But the his master saw that the Lord is with this boy. It means there are certain things that can trigger favor. But one thing about the favor, when it comes, it will outweigh any good thing that you might have done, which could be considered a thing that triggered it. Definitely, this man should have had some Egyptian servants also in his house. But he takes this boy who is a Hebrew, a foreigner, and a slave, and he makes him steward of his house, overseer. Chapter 39, verse 21 to 22. Joseph is put in prison. And let's read this. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. What we see favor doing here, the favor of God is bringing promotion. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are obstacles. He has been falsely accused. He is now in prison, but he gets there. The favor of God is on him. Do we have people in the house who have the favor of God? Do we have people in the house who desire more of God's favor? We must learn to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for just as my Lord Jesus Christ increased in favor with God and men, I thank you, Lord, for an increase of favor in my life with you and with men through Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we all say favor? So you see him promoted there, but then what happens? He interprets the dream of the butler and the baker. The baker is hanged by Pharaoh. The butler is restored. Who is the butler? He's the cupbearer, the one who tested wine before the king drank wine. If this was Pharaoh's throne, Pharaoh is seated here, the butler is holding the cup. And as he's holding the cup, when Pharaoh wants to drink, he gives it to him. And as he gives it to him, he's very close to him. He has access to Pharaoh. And Joseph says, remember me. But when you go back, when you are reinstated, because he has interpreted his dream that he's going to be restored. And the other one, he told him, you are going to be hanged. And what happened? But the Bible tells us the butler forgot Joseph. 2 years, he forgot him. Have you ever been forgotten? Maybe it happens in Zimbabwe, but not here. Have you ever done something for someone and that person, God catapults him to a very influential position and that person acts like you don't exist? But there are certain forgetfulnesses that are strategic. The Bible says God makes everything to be beautiful in its time. Don't get worried about the butlers who have forgotten you. God has a time. Hallelujah. Pharaoh dreams. Nobody can interpret his dreams. Now the butler says, Master, now, Lord, now I remember my sin. He talks about Joseph. What do they, Joseph is in prison. What happens? Joseph is called for. Before he comes, he shaves. He's given new tunics. Even though his brothers had taken that tunic from him, he's now dressing to go and stand before the king. What is that? Preparation for promotion. Hallelujah. And he goes before the king. He interprets the dream. After he interprets the dream, he also speaks a word of wisdom. After he says, there will be 7 years of plenty and there will be 7 years of famine. And what you need to do is you need to gather food to put storehouses across the nation and keep food for the years of famine, because the famine shall be so severe such that the plenty will be forgotten. And what happens? The Bible tells us, Pharaoh says, can we find a man like this man? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. That man, he was not born again. But somehow he detected this man as the Spirit of God. Because, you know, they are bogus magicians. But Pharaoh did not have bogus magicians. They were real. Because remember the magicians of Moses' day? They competed with Moses. They did miracles by the power of the devil.
So that, and the magicians had failed to interpret dreams. So Egypt, that shows us that Egypt had real magicians, but the magicians had failed the dream, and Joseph interprets it. And what does Pharaoh do? The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 7, we are told that Joseph found favor in the sight of Pharaoh. What did he do? He made him the governor, or you could call him the prime minister of Egypt. Amen. That's in the speech where Stephen was speaking before the Sanhedrin. Joseph is promoted. We see this in it's Acts chapter 7. I'll just read that. I know our time is up. I'm just rushing. Praise God. Can we all say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, can we all say thank you, Lord Jesus? Yes, verse 10, it says, and delivered him out of his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. You have a cabinet in this country. You have a vice president in this country. But he is an American. Can you imagine someone who is not American, who has a Cuban passport, Egyptian passport, becoming vice president in this country, and the rest of the cabinet and Congress approves it? That's what happened with Joseph. Our God is a God of signs and wonders. But that's what the favor of God does. The things which people say cannot happen will happen. By the favor of God. We could study the story of Esther. Esther, the time she became part of the women who were brought in to prepare to go before the king, she found favor. Already she was given the best place. Scripture does not say she was the most beautiful amongst the beautiful. Scripture talks about favor. When she goes before the king, favor. Hallelujah. I sometimes tell sisters at home, if you need a husband, the secret is the favor of God. The favor of God. If you need a wife, the favor of God. And Esther became the queen of Persia. Joseph became governor of Egypt. Remember, it's from God, by God, and for God. Why did God put him there? Later on, when his brothers come, he says to them, I'm Joseph, when he reveals himself to them, your brother, whom you sold. But then after that, he stops talking about them selling him. He says, God sent me here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God sent me here. That forgetting of the butler was strategic. At the right time he was remembered, he became governor. Maybe if the butler had talked about it before, he could just have come out of prison and lived in some house. Look at the story of Mordecai. Mordecai is also promoted to become next to the king. You know the story of Haman. How Haman is asked, what should be done for the person who pleases the king? And he speaks all those things. And the king says, do that for Mordecai, the Jew. Why? Because at the strategy, you see, the king had forgotten Mordecai. I have a word from the Lord for somebody here who feels forgotten. Because we are blessing to this one and that one and that one and that one. And maybe right now they look like they've turned their back on you. They're acting like you don't exist. There's a time. God is a God of timing. He has a perfect time. Do you know the night before Mordecai was to be hanged? The Bible says that night the king could not sleep. And he said, bring out the records. He said, what has been done for Mordecai the Jew? For what he did for me. And what happened? Then they said, he asked, who is here? They said, Haman is here. Then Haman is called. Perfect time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ruth
the favor of God. The Bible has stories of people walked in the favor of God. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Where there's Jesus, there's favor. Are you not part of Christ's body? Doesn't the Bible say he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord? So you can honestly say, I have God's favor in my life. But one thing that you must learn to do whenever divine favor comes to you, you say, Father, thank you for this favor. I dedicate it to you. Let it fulfill your purpose. It can bring money. It can bring a marriage. It can bring that, open that door or that door. You can start to walk in corridors of power, places where other people long to walk in. And when God opens those doors for you to walk in those corridors of power, there's a divine purpose for divine favor. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your word shall not return to you void. It shall prosper in that of which you sent it. Thank you for your word on your favor. Father, I thank you because this morning I've been speaking to favored people. In Jesus' name, I thank you for your favor in individuals, in marriages, sisters and brothers, in this church. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.